About we're in Matthew 26 this morning, and aren't you glad that we have heat this morning? Amen. You know, we're comfortable here this morning. We have heat, so we got filled up with propane Friday. Praise the Lord that we looked and see how much we had left. This side was almost out, so we got some there, but the price for propane has gone up, $3.05 a gallon of propane. We paid $2.40 a gallon last year. It's gone up a little bit there. So, but thankful that we have it and it should last us the rest of this year. But this morning, you know, we're looking at our theme this year, built up in Christ, Colossians 2:7, and, that we're to be that rooted and built up in Christ and have the security that we so much desire. You know, there's so much unrest going on in the world. You know, we're here this morning, we're nice and comfortable and snuggled into our pews, right? We need to have that security and assurance as being one of God's children. Now we can be comfortable and safe in our current culture to insulate ourselves from what's going on in the outside. And today we're going to learn how to do that and what the benefits and those comforts are. And what are the attributes of a comfortable and safe Christian? Now you may be wondering this morning, I said, Pastor, I detect a little bit of tongue-in-cheek in your message a little bit this morning. A little bit. I think we need to have that safety and assurance of our salvation. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord of that. But unfortunately, nowhere in the Bible does it say that our lives on this earth will be comfortable or safe. And so this morning, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at Peter as an example and make sure that we're not in this particular category this morning. That we're living the life of the playing it comfortable and playing it safe as a Christian. If we could stand together out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew 26, beginning in verse number 55. So I'm going to go 55 through 59, and then we're going to jump over to 69 through 75. So if you follow along as I read, and beginning in verse 55, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, "Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled." Verse 58, "But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death." Now let's go down to verse number 69. "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." Let's pray together. Dear Father, I pray that you would bless the message this morning that you've laid on my heart. Lord, we thank you that we can have warm hearts because of thy blessed shed blood on the cross. And Lord, I pray today that we would not just sit here in our comfort, dear Lord, and of our assurance, but Lord, that we would also be willing to be uncomfortable for thy sake. And Lord, it's uncomfortable at times to be a Christian when a world we live in is so against you and against your Son. We pray that we would be the examples that we need to be in this world. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us that willingness to step out and learn a lesson from what Peter endured in this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Comfortable and safe. What are the attributes of the comfortable and the safe Christian? Well, the first thing that we see here in this passage is we have to get a little bit of a context of what is going on in this passage. This is when Jesus was taken prisoner. He is placed before the Sanhedrin, then he is placed before Pilate, then he's placed before Herod, and we see that finally Pilate passes judgment and has Jesus condemned to crucifixion. And so this was a time of great upheaval. This was a time of great trial, especially for the disciples, even though Jesus had plainly told them what was going to happen, had plainly told them that these things were needed to happen, they still don't understand when they did. Remember, we can look at the disciples, we can look at Peter, and we can be a little hard on them. So why in the world did they do that? Remember, we see the end of it all because we have the Bible. They didn't know what was going on at the time. We have to look at it. Remember, there are things that go on in our lives that we don't fully understand what's going on. We do later, but we don't know at the time. So we need to learn a lesson from this, though. But then the number one attribute about a comfortable and safe Christian, number one, he makes bold proclamations. Bold proclamations. We see this with Peter, and this is exactly what Peter did in here in fleeing and just kind of following along outside and running away and denying the Lord. He said he would never do that. But if we back up just a few verses, verse 31 of chapter 26, we're in Matthew 26, back up to 31. And we see that Peter made a vow of loyalty. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. So this is the same night. Okay, Jesus, just a few hours before, is telling them, you all are going to run. You're going to be offended. You're going to not be there when the trial comes. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Verse 33, Peter answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. What is Peter saying here? Well, all the rest of these people might be offended. The whole world might be offended, but Lord, I'm never going to be. They're going to run. They're going to desert, but I'm not going to do that. Remember, Peter was bold in his speech. And Peter was a good disciple. He was bold. He was decisive. He wanted to do a good work for the Lord. Like many Christians, I believe, we have this desire. We have a genuine desire to see God do wonderful things. We want to speak up for the Lord. He wanted to see the kingdom of God furthered. And to this end, he made a bold proclamation concerning his loyalty, that Peter would not be offended, even though everybody else would be. And instead, you would expect Jesus saying, well, isn't he such a wonderful disciple? How wonderful he has expressed loyalty to me. Remember, Jesus can see the heart, and Jesus can see what's going on in Peter's heart and his mind. Verse 34, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, means that this, I'm telling you the truth, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. In the synoptic passages, the cock crow twice. And Mark expresses that. We're going to get to that in a minute. And deny me thrice. And Peter said to him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So what's going on is that Jesus saying, you're all going to be offended. You're all going to run. When bad things begin to happen, you're going to scatter. And Peter saying, Lord, I'm not going to do it. Though everybody else is going to be, I'm not going to be offended. Jesus says, no, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the morning dawn. You're going to deny me three times. Then he says, nope, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. Can I just say something here? Don't ever tell God he doesn't know what he's talking about. And he said, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to even, if you go and die, I'm going to be there, right there with you. If you're going to have a cross, I'm going to be right there next to you, Lord. I'm going to be right there. And here, there's a key part. Likewise, all the disciples. He said, it doesn't matter, Lord, if you are nailed to a cross, I'm going to be nailed right there with you. Even then, at that point, I won't deny you, Lord. I won't. Now, Peter was not lying here. He was full of passion and zeal. But can I tell you something? I believe the key to this is Peter had not considered a few things. It's very easy to say something, then it's another to do it, right? Well, let's look over at Luke chapter 14. Peter had still not counted the cost of discipleship, even though Jesus had commanded him and commanded the others to follow this command of counting the cost. Make sure you understand the implications of what you're getting into. We have to understand that. That's why I love to tell new Christians in the faith, guess what? There's going to be a cost to this. There's a cost to following the Lord. You know, we can't tell someone that, well, now that you're saved, everything's going to be rainbows and unicorns, right? It's going to be peaches and cream. It's going to be wonderful. Everything's going to be great. Everything's going to go right in your life. Many times when someone gets saved, the devil attacks and things begin to go wrong. And they understand, well, is this, what is God doing to me? No, it's the devil trying to discourage. But it says here in Luke 14, verse 26, Jesus gives a wonderful illustration. This, by the way, this parable should be known by heart by every Christian. This example of what Jesus is about to say. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I'll pause here for a moment. This is not talking about the hatred of that you despise someone. No, it is to rank under the importance of the draw of family. Even your own desires need to be subservient to that of Christ. They need to be brought under it. This is submission. He said, you can't be my disciple if you're unwilling to submit all of these things under importance of myself, even your own desires. Verse 5, and when he had, went over the wrong part here. Where was I? Lost my spot. There it is. Okay, verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? So imagine taking under a great building project. You know, I'm going to build a house. Do you know how much money you need? Nope, I think $5,000 will do it. I think so. I think if I have $5,000 and I go down to Lowe's and Home Depot and plunk it down and say, hey, give me all the supplies I need for a house, they're going to laugh at you because it costs a whole lot more. You can maybe build a very small house for $5,000, okay, maybe one that'll just about fit you in it with all the things that a house needs, but you're not going to build anything for $5,000. I mean, was looking at about a year and a half ago, I was like, hey, maybe I could add onto my house real cheap, you know, and I began to look at all the things, you know, add, you know, maybe a 14-foot addition on there and just looked at all the things and you know what, the air conditioner that was going to be needed and the electricity and all the insulation and digging the piers and doing all that stuff. You know what I came up, Brother Scott, $30,000 to have like a 15-foot addition. I'm like, man, that's why houses are so expensive. Right? I remember it was a few years ago, I was in Copperas Cove and I went to Manning Homes right there. And we said, hey, what if we built a parsonage on the church property? And I gave them the dimensions of what I wanted. Could you build this for like, you know, $200,000? And the lady behind the counter there, she didn't laugh, but she got this smile on her face and she did this. She looked down over her glasses and she goes, honey, to build something like that is going to cost at least $450,000. I was like, on our own land? She goes, yes, that's how much, because we do custom homes. I'm like, well, I guess that's out. So, we have to make sure we know what things cost. We can't just begin to build and then not count how much money we're going to need. And then not only that, what is the rule of thumb in construction? Always add 10 to 15% because there's going to be something you forgot. Amen. There's always going to be something you forget. Trust me, that's one thing I've learned with doing building projects here at the church. We always forget something along the way. And we built it in this last time, came in almost just a little bit over budget, not much, but within a couple of percent. But here it is, verse number 29. Lest haply after you have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock. Have you ever gone and driven around and you saw a house that had a foundation, the framework up, or maybe a business, and you see it's been abandoned for a while? Ever seen that? You see that? And you ever wonder what happened in that situation? Like, well, someone didn't manage it right. You know, someone must have gotten sued, or something happened there, or the builder stole their money and didn't build it for them. You know, you always go through all the things that could have happened. Guess what? The same thing happens when we begin to start out for Christ, and then we say, hold the phone. This isn't what I signed up for. Hold the phone. I didn't sign up for this. I'm going to go back to the way things were. I'm not going to follow Christ anymore. And so what's going to happen? Just as we think that, don't you think the world's going to mock the Christians? Oh, they said they were going to be faithful. Look at them. Saying that this man began to build and was not able to finish. Verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000, meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So you got to count the cost of being a follower of Christ. It's going to cost something. And the comfortable Christian makes bold proclamations and bold decisions without counting the cost. Because one day he or she will be called to stand up in an uncomfortable and perhaps even an unsafe situation. And you know what? That won't do for the comfortable Christian. That won't do. That's exactly what the disciples did. They decided, nope, we're not going to be. We didn't sign up for this. And they scattered. And they were afraid. And Peter, of all the one who said, I will never be offended. I will never do it. And you know what's something here? He's not saying, Lord, by thy grace, I won't deny you. He's saying, no, I'm never going to do it. Can I say something here? What is the age-old cliche? Never say what? Never. Okay, we need to make sure we count the cost. We need to count the cost of sin. And we look at this of not being able to build a home. What about those that I'm going to be faithful? I'm going to be faithful to my wife. I'm going to be faithful to my husband. I'm going to do this. But then they don't count the cost of what that takes to do that. They don't count the cost of their marriage vows. They don't count the cost of protecting their relationship. They end up cheating on their spouse. And guess what? Doesn't the world mock at that? Oh, they're supposed to be a Christian. They're no better than we are. Man, that's what happens. And it happens all too often. And you know what? That comes from being a comfortable Christian. You need to count the cost. And you know what? Jesus saying, take up your cross and follow me. What is he saying? What the cost is? Your life. That's what the cost is. He gave his life for ours. But to give all to him. That's what discipleship truly is. The comfortable Christian will not be inconvenienced and will make bold proclamations, makes bold decisions, but never follows through all the way on them, especially when the going gets tough. By the way, if you're going to make a decision for God, there's going to be some hard situations you're going to face. Again, it's going to cost you something. Also, not only that, let's continue on. Let's go back to Matthew 26. The second attribute is, first is making bold proclamations. Second, lives life following behind. Following behind. What did Peter do? And it says here, verse 58, but Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. So when Peter's world all of a sudden became uncomfortable, when Judas betrayed the Savior, Jesus was taken away and arrested. Peter, who had so boldly proclaimed he would stand with Jesus, was nowhere to be found. At least he was not obvious. He was still there, but he just wasn't obvious. He was still following the command, follow me. He was just doing a great way off, though. He was just following behind at a safe distance as not to attract too much attention. And we see, but his motivation is made clear in verse 58. And it says at the last part, to see the end. Now, does that mean that he was just waiting to see, you know, he knew Jesus was going to be crucified. He was just going to stand off and watch it happen? No, that has the idea of he wanted to see what was going to happen. Maybe Jesus is going to be let go. Maybe they're just going to put him before, they're not going to find, because he is perfect, that is, and maybe they're just going to let him go. Maybe he didn't know what was going to happen, so he is testing the waters here. I said, let's just see what happens. You know what? Too many Christians are like that. Hey, you know what? I'm just going to lay back in the background, and let's just see what happens. Let's just see. Let's make sure. Let's see if I really want to be a part of this, to test the waters. And also, then he would be right there when Jesus was released. He'd be right there. Peter was sticking the proverbial finger in the air to test to see which way the wind was blowing. Sounds like a politician, right? We have too many political Christians. What I mean by that is that they're like, well, let's see, which way is the wind blowing? You know, it's real easy to, when the revival winds are blowing in the church, oh, I'm for revival. But then when things are getting a little cold and harder, see, you know what? I'm just going to go do my own thing. I'm just going to follow whichever way the proverbial wind is blowing. Don't we see this resurface later in his life when a conflict with Paul arose? Peter was bold, but he also cared too much about what others thought. We see that when he was there with the Gentile Christians and the others that came from up from Jerusalem, including Peter, the Jews, they would not eat because there are other Jews there that were saved. They didn't want to eat with the Gentiles because that was considered eating with the unclean. And Paul got upset. He said, because don't we have liberty in Christ? There's neither Jew nor Gentile. And so what happened? Peter got carried away with, well, he cared a little bit too much about what people thought. But isn't that a trapping of being a human being? We care too much sometimes about what people think. We care about which way the wind is blowing. We care about, instead of taking a stand for the Lord, Peter wasn't proclaiming, take me with him. I'm one of his disciples. If wherever he goes, I go. Was he making that proclamation? No, he was just slipping in. He was following, but following away behind, just kind of say, okay, you go on, Lord, I'll catch up. I'm just kind of want to see how this goes. Oh, we can't live life that way. Are we following Christ? Just not too close. You know, we don't want to get too close. You know, that's just crazy to get a little too close. I might get uncomfortable. I mean, we want to be comfortable, right? It can get a little uncomfortable and scary being in the thick of things. Being in the middle of battle can get scary. You know, I just want to wait and see how it all works out. Well, Luke 11:23 says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Either we're with the Lord or we're against him. By the way, if you're not with him helping him, then by doing nothing, you are against him. There's no two ways you can have it. We have to be in that place of committedness. What else do we learn from this? Well, number three, the comfortable and safe Christian loves to blend in. Peter was there. He was sitting with the servants of the high priest's household. He just wanted to be there, but he also did not want to stand out. He just wanted to blend in with the crowd. It's comfortable blending in with the crowd, and much safer that way too. You know, I just was like everybody else. I'm just curious about what's going on here. However, there was a small problem. Peter was well known as one of the chief followers of Christ. A little problem he had because of those bold proclamations he made. Remember, he was present during the miracles that Jesus performed. He was with Jesus in the temple when Jesus overturned the money changers' tables. He was with Jesus when Lazarus was raised from the dead. He was with Jesus when he rebuked the religious establishment of the day. He was with Jesus when he was welcomed with a triumphal entry into Jerusalem a week prior. He was with Jesus when he was arrested just a few hours before. People knew who Peter was, but he wanted to blend in. Here's the problem. When you're saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're forever changed. You can't blend in anymore. Amen. So stop trying. Then the uncomfortable association started in verse number 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. Hey, you were with him. I remember you. You were with him. I remember seeing you there. But what did he say? You know, of course, did he say, oh, absolutely, I'm a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm a Christian. No, what did he say? What are you talking about? I don't follow him. The guy who's in jail over here, the guy that's being examined by the Sanhedrin and all that, and I know it's not going well because it was known, probably listening to the gossip, oh, this isn't going well. And he said, oh, no, I don't know him. So I denied them before all them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Now, you know what it says before them all? Peter didn't say, because she said it openly, hey, you're one of those with Jesus. And Peter didn't say, shh. Let me talk to you privately really quick. Actually, I'm not. That's not what he said. He goes, what are you talking about? I don't know him. I'm not with him. So everybody would know because his cover had been blown. Verse 72, and again he denied, verse 71, when he was gone out into the porch, so he went to a different part. No one will know me over here. Another maid saw him and said unto them, that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. So somebody else recognized, hey, that's Peter. You were with Jesus. Cover's blown again. And again he denied with an oath. I do not know the man. What it means by an oath? I swear in a stack of Bibles that I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know this man. I don't have any association with him. I just look like that guy, Peter. It's not me. His cover was blown again. Constantly trying to blend in. Then verse 73, and after a while came on him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Because he was a Galilean, they spoke with a particular accent. He said, your speech bewrayeth thee. Also, the idea is here, I'm sure somebody had heard Peter say something. Remember, Peter and the disciples, they went out preaching two by two over the countryside. Peter wasn't just a nobody. People knew who he was. He said, your speech bewrayeth thee. Uh-oh, Peter went from comfortable and safe to very uncomfortable and, to be honest, in real danger. What was Peter to do? Well, deny, of course. He didn't know Jesus. They were making a mistake. They didn't know what they were talking about. To prove it, he even said something that a follower of Christ would never say. Then he began to curse and to swear. See, a Christian wouldn't talk like that, so I can't be one of them. To curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. What a tragic mistake. To prove that he wasn't really with Jesus. No matter how much he tried to deny it, he could not. Too many times the comfortable Christian just wants to blend in. Doesn't want to be pointed out. Doesn't want to be associated with Jesus or righteousness when it's uncomfortable. Oh, sure, they make those bold proclamations in church and even possible in the testimony time. However, Jesus knows the truth of what really happens when the pressure's on. Hey, don't you go to the Tabernacle Baptist Church over there? Oh, no, I don't really go to church. I'm actually, you know, I go to church every, I go over there every once in a while, you know. Preacher's crazy, you know. I can only take so much, you know. If you think I'm pretty crazy, wait till Larry Brown comes anyway. Now, I will say this. Larry Brown is a very unique type of preacher. There are some preachers that are very encouraging. He's encouraging. There's some preachers that are very more, you know, teaching and theological. Then there's some preachers that give you a good kick in the pants. Larry Brown's one that gave you a good kick in the pants. So I appreciate him because it makes you think about things a little bit. So remember, Jesus warned Peter about this. Denying three times, I know not the man, to two damsels and maids, and then to another, possibly a man, we don't know, but to three different groups of people, he said, I don't know Jesus. And just as he said it, the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know what's sad, though, is that he didn't remember what Jesus said before this, did he? Only remembered after the deed was done. That happens sometimes. The last attribute. Well, so what is the last attribute then? Remember, Jesus warned Peter about this. Now the rooster crowed the second time. The second time Peter denied it, says in Mark 15:68, that rooster crowed once. Jesus said before the second crow that Peter would deny three times, the warning of God from the throat of a rooster. And after the second time, the cock crew once, it says in Mark. So he heard it. And for some reason, he pushed to the back of his mind the warning of his Savior. Well, Jesus said, I would deny three times. I don't know if he thought this or not. Jesus said, I'd deny three times, only denied twice. What is the last attribute? Well, whenever we deny the Lord and we sin, and it is sin to deny the Lord, the fourth attribute is the comfortable and safe Christian weeps bitterly in the end. But Peter denied the third time and the rooster crowed, and here is one of the most heartbreaking verses in the Bible in Luke 22, verses 61 to 62. I want you to turn over there, Luke 22. It says in Matthew that the cock crew and he went out wept bitterly, but Luke 22 and verses 61 and 62. Not only that, this is the synoptic. I encourage you, whenever you read these accounts, read all the accounts that are given in all of the Gospels. It gives you different details. And then Luke gives a detail that is not in the others. and is one that is so impactful. When he denied that third time, verse 61 says, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Why did Peter weep bitterly? Why did it bother Peter? Because he knew that his Savior heard him and saw him, and it broke his Savior's heart. He knew he had broken the heart of God. Can you imagine the agony? Perhaps you know the agony, the nudge of the Holy Spirit that we denied, the leading of Jesus that we rebelled against. Peter went from comfortable to ashamed and broken in an instant. When he made eye contact with his master and saw the disappointment and the sadness, the betrayal he had perpetrated came crashing onto him. Have you ever experienced that? We've all failed the Lord, but do we constantly play it safe? I hope that you have the heart of Peter to weep bitterly over your sin. Because we get on Peter's case a little bit, but at least he wept over his sin. Too many people don't even weep. So, well, I denied the Lord. No big deal. I decided to not be a Christian today. No big deal. I decided not to be a witness today. No big deal. Oh, Peter wept bitterly. Because at the end, he loved Jesus Christ. He loved his Savior. But as he probably guessed, it's not good to be a comfortable Christian. That is the problem with Christianity today. We play it safe and comfortable. Are you willing to step out for God? Are you willing to put some reality and actions to your bold proclamations? Well, after this, Peter started to. And you see that Peter became one of the greatest disciples that we see and recorded in the New Testament. The two main ones that we talk about, what, are Peter and Paul. But Peter started after this day, but he had to learn a painful lesson. We see later on, after Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus asked him three times, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And how many times did Jesus ask that? Three times. At that moment, Peter, when that first damsel said, "You were also with Jesus. Do you love me?" Because he didn't love me in that moment. He didn't love me enough to say, "Yes, I'm with him." Interestingly enough, we see that if you look at Luke, there was another disciple that actually let him in. We don't know who it was. He said, but that someone was known. They actually let Peter in. But do you wonder why he was let in? Peter was allowed to stand up and give witness for Christ in his trial, but he didn't. Because they had false witnesses. Peter could have stood up and said, "This isn't true." If you look at the Mosaic law about someone that stood up and gave witness against the false witnesses, but Peter wasn't willing to do that. Are you willing to put some reality and actions to your bold proclamations? I pray that we are today. Are we just concerned about being comfortable and safe? Unfortunately, that's what our culture is about. Being safe, being comfortable. But is that what Jesus has for you? Do we have the protection of the Lord? Yes, I'm not saying that. Do we have the assurance of our salvation for all of eternity? Absolutely. However, we get so comfortable in this flesh and doing what this flesh desires that we can become unwilling to become uncomfortable. To get out of our comfort zone is what we say. And even to the point of denying our Lord. So this morning, are there some comforts you need to turn away from? Are some things that perhaps some situations that you have faced that you maybe haven't made the right decision? Maybe you made Peter's decision, decided to back down and back away. We don't have to remain that way. It's one thing about failure and falling. We can have the restoration of the Lord. We need the boldness. But also, a simple question, have you counted the cost of discipleship? Have you counted the cost? It costs something to be a Christian today. It always has. It always will. Being a Christian isn't free. We have the free gift of salvation, but are we willing to give all for Christ? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that as we come to this invitation time this morning, that we be willing to be uncomfortable for you, that we're willing to be ridiculed. For Lord, you told, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are ridiculed and misused for your sake. Because we're a follower of you, to be falsely accused and ridiculed, your Lord, you call them blessed. Lord, I pray that this morning we would be willing to be ridiculed. And even in the Gospels, Lord, and in the New Testament books, they're willing to die for their faith. And you called that blessed. Lord, I pray that we count the cost of discipleship this morning. And Lord, that you would find us loyal. And Lord, that we be willing and that we pray for thy grace and thy power in the time of need. When that need arises, when we face that hard situation, that uncomfortable, even unsafe situation, that we have the boldness to stand firm. We pray your blessing on this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.